All right, in Colossians chapter 1, look with me at verse 12. Paul said to the Colossians, of course, we've spoke of this before. He never got to go to Colossae before he went into prison. But he wrote the Colossian letter while in prison. The devil thought he had Paul bound by prison, and yet he wrote two of the glorious letters in the Bible as the Ephesians and Colossians, which are called prison epistles. And he said in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath, and like I said a long time ago, you could make a great study on the word hath in Paul's writings, because hath is past tense. It's done. It's a finished thing. If you, every time you see the word hath where he writes it, it's something that's been done already. So he said, giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. But what I want to talk to you today about is the translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The word translate is to put over. If you look it up in a concordance, you'll find the word translate, or then you'll look up and you'll find one relationship of translated. The ED on translated means that it's done also. It's like the hath, the word itself. You'll find that in this verse, he said, hath translated us, ED, on the translate. Translate could be a promise. I'll translate you later, or I'll change the government later, translate the government. And by the way, turn to 2 Samuel, and I'll give you a reference, an idea of this, in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Translate can mean that there's something in progress, but translated means it's done. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, there is a discussion here about the house of Saul and the house of David. And of course, Saul is the king, and David has never went against the king, the anointed, but God is going to take Saul out of the way. He doesn't like Saul, the way he reacted and the way he did, and he was a coward. And he didn't do what God told him. God told him to go over a certain place and kill everything that moved. He wanted women, children, he wanted animals, he wanted everything killed in that country. And Saul decided that he needed to bring the animals back. He brought the king back, probably brought some women back, and on, because, I mean, why would God want me to kill all of these? Some of these might be good people. And God said, no, I want them all killed. Well, he didn't, and so Samuel came to him and said, you have rebelled against God, for God doth know what he wants. And the whole issue would come down to the fact that in verse 10, you'll find the word translate. He says, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. So this word here, to translate, means this is something in progress and it's going to happen. Yet in the Bible, also look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. The reason I want you to see this translate is that if that is God's method of taking you away from the wrath that's going to come in the tribulation passages. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith. If you read it, it's all about faith. The whole chapter is about faith. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence in a person that has faith is his faith. That's evidence that he believes. He can most likely can tell you. He can show you what he believes in. Paul said, I know in whom I believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you hope for something, even though you don't have it, you can tell what you're hoping for. You can tell somebody, this is what I'm waiting on. This is what I want. This is what I'm expecting. And I could use that in an example of JV or Susie. They laid waiting and expecting a doctor to do something. Now, in expectation, it hasn't been done yet necessarily. When it's done, then you no longer hope for it. It's done. We have an expectation of a delivery from the world, this world that we're in, called an evil world, Galatians chapter 1, and from our vile body, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. We have an expectation. We groan within ourselves with the first fruit bearing witness, and the first fruit being the Spirit of the dear Son, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. We hope and expect to be delivered from this thing that we can't control, really. And when I say can't control, yes, we can quit doing certain sins, but there's still certain sins in our life that we just don't seem to get a grip over. And anger, there's just a lot of things that people really don't think of as bad sins, but sin is sin. That's what the body produces. And you may not do the things that other people do, but you've got your own problems. And they're there, and you know it. And the problem is because you have a vile body. And you can't clean up a vile body. Folks, it don't matter. It'll come out on you. My mother was a great example of that. My mother never cussed. My mother never did anything like that. She had a stroke, and at first all her words came out backwards, and when they started coming out right, they were cursing. And I mean, she could cuss you. She cussed a little old lady in the nursing home so bad she on a walker, and I thought she was going to run. And I said, Mom, who was that? I don't know. She just mad at her. So she walked by her room or something. I don't know what. I mean, she's cussing like a railroader. And I said, Mom, where'd you get them words? I don't know. Well, it just comes out, folks. You don't control it any longer. It's like when people have wrecks and stuff, the bodily functions you can't control sometimes. The body is vile. And it'll come out on you one of these days. Anger, a little road rage, a little racism. There's a lot of things in you. It'll come out on you. Somebody messes with you wrong. How about you guys? You like to be sitting face? Somebody get up a big honker and spit it right on your nose? What do you want to do? He's already done dumb. He had it over. It's already come out. Somebody looks wrong with your wife. You watch people's faces. They go. They change in a moment. Well, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of not things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Right, you can read the story. He brought blood. Cain brought things that he picked with his hands and could have possibly grown with his hands, and God didn't accept it. It made him mad, so he just killed his brother. First religious murder in the Bible. And by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By the way, how does Abel speak? Word of God. You know his story and infamy. It's always written. It's there. He speaks. Now, verse 5. By faith Enoch was... Now, here's what I wanted. Well, what happened to Enoch? Enoch was walking, and he walked with God, and he was only like 365 years old. The rest of the people were living like 900 years. But Enoch is right in that time period when there's something serious coming. There's a flood coming. And what did God do? Why did he translate him? Read the verse. That he should not see death. People say, well, this is the top of the rapture. I don't know, it ain't the top of the rapture, but we can use the idea of the translate here, because what did the translation do for Enoch about death? He didn't see it. All right? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. All right. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1. There was a man called Christ. This man was born of a virgin and lived about 33 years. He knew no sin. He was tempted in all points, but he knew no sin. So there was no sin in him. This man, in his living, lived the way God intended man to live, righteously. And his example, his standard, kills us all. His standard of living is glory on earth. We have all come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God, let's think of it this way. When Jesus Christ was baptized by John, obviously it ain't for sin because he don't have any. It's not to wash away sin. He didn't have any. It was fulfilling all righteousness. Why? Water separated from Israel a believer. He was the example of righteousness. Think about this man setting the standard of the glory of God. In the baptism of John, it said as he baptized Jesus, the Spirit of God descended as a dove. Not a dove, as one, like a dove. It floated down, and it was to be visibly seen by John as a witness. And as it lighted upon the Lord, the voice from heaven said, behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, if God is well pleased with the Son, why would He let Him die? Because He makes Him sin after He accomplishes the standard that He is right, He is pure, He is righteous. He takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and implies and imputes and gives, whatever you want to use the word, to you if you want it. Whatever Jesus is, whatever Jesus does, whatever He represents God, you can have as a gift. Because over here, you cannot get to the standard, the set thing that God's Son has done. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, before I read on, God's grace is in His Son. God's grace will allow no works for you. Otherwise, His Son died for nothing. If righteousness come by the works of the law, then Christ is dead in vain. 2 Corinthians and Galatians. Now, God makes Him to be sin, and the second He does, Jesus has a statement. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you never want to hear the word forsaken, you must trust Christ. For if you don't receive that gift, God will forsake you. He'll laugh at you, condemn you, and you will perish. Because He will do no more. There is no more way that He wants to save or will save. There is no more way that He can clear up anything than what He did. He knew what He's doing. Salvation belongs unto God. Now let's read again. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, say the word, accepted where? In the Beloved. He said at the baptism of John, which is 3 years before He goes to the cross, "Behold, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is on His knees and He said, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done." And He willingly went to Calvary without calling down the angels, without trying to save Himself. He willingly did the will of the Father, for the Father is saving you. That is the purpose of Almighty God in this dispensation, is that this man would be delivered. He would die for our sins, according to the Scripture, and would be buried and rise again the third day. And when He arises, God has proved that He forgave you. For it is you dying in Christ. He has put your sins and your nature on Jesus Christ, and He implies and imputes and gives you His righteousness. Jesus Christ is God's righteousness on earth. And you cannot get that right. You cannot get His righteousness. You can't be like His righteousness as you are, for there is none righteous, no, not one. So what God wants to do is to translate you into the kingdom of His dear Son. But what He says is, He hath translated you. So now what can you do? You can receive it by faith. That is, through His faith. Through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did and where He went. And letting God do it. By your faith in Him, you are justified through His faith. If you think that just believing in Jesus Christ and believing in God is going to get you to heaven, you're far from wrong. Everybody believes that in religion. You're going to have to trust somebody else's faith to be enough for you and I. That's the way we have to trust it. Now, turn with me to Romans 8, and let's just compare some verses. In Romans 8, let's see in the translation how that we are different than we was if we're not translated. In Romans chapter 8, verse 8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." All right? How many feel like you're in the flesh? I got a brace on my knee. It feels like I'm in the flesh. I don't jump out of bed anymore. I roll and crawl. I don't run. I need to walk more, and I always have walked, and now I'm having trouble walking because of my knee. Both knees were killing me when I got off the airplane. I said, "What's wrong with me? Lord, Thou hast deceived me." I got off that plane. I said, "Lord, I am getting bad shape." I said, "I sure hope the rapture soon." In Romans 8, then, what can you... There is no possibility of doing in the flesh. Okay? Translated. Romans 8:9. What does it say? That's the translation. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is. If you do not know the Spirit of Christ is in you, guess what? You're not. You're not His. Well, then, if you're not His, you still belong to Adam. And you know what Adam gave you by natural birth? Death. So you're just walking death. You're just still walking to a point that you're going to die, and you will not be translated because you're not translated. You will not go out in the rapture. You will not go into redemption. You will not be going up in the catch out because you're not worthy of it. He made you meet to go there. Meet means that you have what is necessary for God to accept you up. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are. So if the gospel's hid to you or someone else or on the internet watching, guess what? What does the verse say if it's hid to you? Lost. Ephesians chapter 1, let's see the translated part. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. So let's read 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. What did they trust Christ for? Verse 14, 13. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Oh my gosh, how do I hear the gospel of my salvation if that salvation hadn't been accomplished? In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit to promise. And that Holy Spirit is the earnest, in verse 14, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So you sitting here, if you've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, it is because you heard the gospel of your salvation. And if you heard the gospel of your salvation, then that gospel's not hid. And you're not lost. And God seals you with it, and it's the earnest, it is the guarantee that when the day of redemption comes, when it's time for you to leave this world, whether it's in sleep or alive and caught up, you have the absolute guarantee of God that He hath translated you into it. The same as Ephesians 1:7. Watch. In whom, that it be the beloved, we will get. What did it say? We have it. It's in your possession. Say, well, what if I lose it? God made it where you couldn't lose it because you would. God ain't going to leave it up to you. Did you know that? You know why? We could mess up two steel balls in a plain room. Probably lose one and the other would break. Are you telling me you ain't sinned since you got saved? If sin is the condition of losing your salvation, oh my gosh, I got one for you. Turn with me to Ephesians. 1 John. Is the Lord God held accountable to His Word? Let's just check something out here, just to make sure. In 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The entire writings of the Apostle Paul says that you're dead to sin. But John here is writing, and he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, I'm going to read this real slow, and you tell me what God is obligated to do in this verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is God held accountable in that verse to do if you confess your sins? Now, where's Jesus in that? So, I can be a Gentile that don't know Jesus because Paul's the one that revealed the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. I can be a Gentile walking out in the world and I say, Lord, I'm a sinner. He's got to forgive me without me knowing the cross. That won't work. Then why did Christ die? Are you hearing me, folks? It is not necessary for Christ to die in 1 John 1:9. If it was, He'd have said so, and I'll show you why. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Jesus came unto His own, and He even told them while He was on earth, He said, if you will repent, I will not sacrifice. He can forgive without dying. And so can God, Israel. He said, if you will repent, if you'll come back to God, I won't sacrifice. We'll set the kingdom up, and in the kingdom, Jeremiah 31 says, I'll take your sin and put them as far away from you as the east is from the west. You know why? He said He could. Watch. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Peter says, repent, ye therefore, and be converted. That is water baptism. That's what he said in Acts 2:38. That your sins may be what? When? Then when does Israel get their sins taken away? Now, what do you reckon would make them confess their sins? The Great Tribulation. He said it's Jacob's trouble. And He said they're going to become meek. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell God they're sinners. And you know what He's going to do? What did He say in 1 John 1:9? I didn't hear it. Let's hear it again. What's He obligated to do? He did not say, if you confess the Lord Jesus. He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins. It ain't about the cross. Then how come that verse has been used all these years? Folks, you cannot confess sins if He died for them. You see, Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and they killed Him. Four or five verses in the book of Acts each time said, you've denied the Holy One and killed Him. So God took, as it was, they're up here, took and let them fall and took their kingdom away, and their kingdom will not come again until the Lord returns again. The first time they should have accepted Him, He was given to them as a sign, the virgin birth. It was a sign to Israel, and Jesus required a sign. And they looked at it and didn't want it, and they said, we have no king but Caesar. And so He took the kingdom away from them, but not forever. Because in this gap here, He chose a priesthood for them to reign over here, and then all of a sudden, He saved a man that didn't deserve to be saved. He saved a man named Saul of Tarsus, a man that's a blasphemer, injurious, and persecutor, and this man is saved, a Jew, and is sent to Gentiles to tell the Gentiles, Christ died for your sins. And you think about that just a minute. And Paul said, you'll read 13 letters and there's nowhere you can confess your sins. You can't confess sins if He died for them. You have to confess Him. That's what's taking the works out. Look at Romans 10. People say, why do you make such an issue of it? Folks, it's denying the Lord. 1 John is not your book. 1 John was written to the Jews, and it's about the last time. And folks, you're not hitting on all eight cylinders if you believe 1 John 1:9 is yours, and you don't go to 1 John and read it. Because in 1 John 2, you need not any man teach you. Why would you get up on Sunday morning and go listen? 1 John 2:21 and 27 says, the anointing which you have received of Him, you need not any man teach you. And any of you have ever sinned during your time since you said you've been saved, He said, if any man commits sin, he's of the devil. Boy, that'll bring the hands down when you ask them if they sinned, and they say, well, yeah, I've sinned this week. Oh, yeah, well, if any man commits sin, he's of the devil. 1 John ain't yours. By the way, in 1 John, it also said there's a sin unto death, and there's a sin not unto death. What in the world are those? Do you want me to show what they are? Say, raise your hand if you want to know what the sin unto death and the sin not unto death is. I'm going to read you the verse first. Remind me to... I tell you what, let me read Romans 10, and then you hold up your hand so I remember where I'm going, okay? Romans 10, because I'm an idiot. Alright, Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why didn't he say, whosoever confesses sins shall be forgiven? Okay? How then shall you call on, I apologize. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Okay? What did it say in verse 9? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth thy sins. No, sir. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And can you tell me, when God raised him from the dead, what he did for you? He forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He can't raise his son till he forgives you. You held him in hell 3 days. And then God said, it's enough. I forgive them. Come up. Where's your smiles? Man, you ought to be jumping up and down thanking God with all the glory you know of. I'm forgiven, Lord. I don't confess my sins. I confess Him to be the forgiver. God is my Savior. Now watch, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no one there about cleansing from all unrighteousness. Why? You can't. Now watch, 1 John. First John, chapter 5. 1 John 5, verse 16. Woo, this get rough down on the beach. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, shut your eyes, boy. Now, that's not what that's about. He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin. What? I do not say that he should pray for it. Now, if you're dead to sin, and you've been forgiven of all trespasses, and Christ died for your sins, you're going to have trouble with this verse. Okay? If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, I just wonder what that might be. Turn back to Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I send you all manner of and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not never be forgiven unto men. Shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall not be. I mean, it shall be what? Would speaking a word against the Son of Man be a sinful thing? Well, sure it would be. What happened to them when they said, we have no king but Caesar? What happened to them? They denied the Lord, didn't they? What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, what happens after they get the Holy Ghost? And the Holy Ghost tells them, love your brother and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The two issues in the tribulation time that the devil is going after Israel for is, one, you need to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the Antichrist's way of going. And betray your brother. Are you listening? There are people that are going to need help in the tribulation to be pointed out who they are. I always thought about something. When Jesus Christ was in the garden, then he went on time frame there at about midnight, what had Judas agreed to do? Jesus doesn't have an aura around him and a halo. He's a man. He's been eating with them the Passover from 6 to 9 in that evening of the Passover. Then from 9 to 12, he's with some apostles in the garden. That's where he's praying. His sweat is his great drops of blood, for he knows where his soul is fixing the head. He knows what they're going to do to him. They're going to deny him. They're going to beat him. They're going to beat him so bad that his bones will be exposed. They're going to pull his beard out. They're going to embarrass him. They're going to humble him. They're going to make a living mess out of him. When you look on him, you won't be able to understand who he is. He's going to be beat so bad. And then they're going to nail him to a wooden tree, and he's going to look to Israel and the world as a curse. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This ain't no pretty sight. This is an awful sight. This man has been beat to a pulp. And he's the creator of heaven and earth, and mankind is doing it to him. And he's letting them. You understand? He's letting man do it to him. And God ain't stopping it. Are you telling me you were looking at your son? Somebody took your son out there and laid him on the concrete and beat him till he couldn't be recognized and then nailed him to an oak tree over there so you wouldn't want to kill him? Come on, talk to me. And God's watching this for a purpose. This righteous man, this lovely and beautiful man that has never done anything wrong and loved the world enough to let this happen to him. If you don't think there ain't a purpose in this, you don't get it. It's to save mankind from the devil and the power of darkness. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Exactly what you'd have to say if you don't have him. Say, Lord, I've done many wonderful works. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. If you're not in my beloved Son, I don't know you. If you're in the flesh, you never pleased me. I have to have translated, and you have to receive that, or it's not yours. And Jesus Christ, he said, Father, forgive them. Who had they spoke against? the Son of Man. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "You men of Israel, let all the house of Israel know assuredly." Who killed the Lord? They physically did it. God's letting him die for the world, but that's not known. Why? The devil says, "I'm going to take your people, God, and I'm going to lead them to not want your son, and I'm going to get them to kill him, and you ain't going to be able to set the kingdom up." And God never said a word. You'd think, well, God's defeated. No. The gates of hell would not prevail against the Lord. For when he's in hell and God forgave, up he came. And when he came up, God began to work some miraculous things on people. First, he did what his son asked. "You men of Israel, hear these words. By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you delivered up, crucified, and slain, but God who raised him up. You're the ones that killed the Holy One." And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? God's fixing to kill us for killing his son. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Once that Holy Ghost comes upon Israel, if they ever speak again against the Lord, it will not be forgiven. That's blasphemy. That's Hebrews chapter 6. Turn to Hebrews 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, you cannot get rebaptized. You cannot rededicate. You cannot get any forgiveness again. You're in trouble if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Thank God this is Hebrews. And who are Hebrews? They're Jews. Hebrews 6:3. "And this we will do if God permit, for it is," give me the word, "impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world, the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance." It's what? Impossible. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. "Little children, it is the..." It is not the last time it's coming. This book was written for the what time? You're not in the last time. You're in the dispensation of grace. "It is the last time, and as you've heard it, Antichrist should come. Even now there are many Antichrists." Well, what constitutes being an Antichrist? "Whereby we know that it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us." This is John 6:66. If you go back in John and you read it, they were walking with the Lord and they turned away from him. That's the type of Antichrist. They'll walk with him and leave. Judas was one. The son of perdition. Now, verse 20. "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know what?" How many of you know all things? Well, this ain't applying to you. He said, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that what?" Now, what's the Antichrist trying to get the Antichrist to do? Deny what? He is Antichrist. He denied the Father and the Son. That's one of the two commandments Jesus Christ gave to his apostles. He said, "You have to believe that I, the Son, am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're going to have to love your brethren." Remember, they're going to betray their brethren over there in the tribulation, get them killed. Praise God, the ones that get killed are in Matthew. He said, "He that loseth his life shall gain it. But he that saveth his life shall lose it." Ain't got nothing to do with you and I. That's tribulation. And think about the thing coming on that thing. He said, "If I don't shorten the time to 7 years, the very elect will be deceived so bad." Why? There is a god of this world, Satan, up there in the stars and Jupiter and Mercury, wherever, just below that third heaven, because he can't get there. He's been knocked out of the presence of God in the Old Testament and the old times, according to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He's been knocked out, and so now he's the god of this world. That's the stars and the earth. He's the god of the second heaven and the first heaven, and in so he is the tempter. And he's warring against the God that we believe in the third heaven. And in that war, he's using God's people and trying to get them to deny that Jesus Christ died for their sins. But when he gets kicked out of there, he's going to go after people to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, that's the doctrine of Peter. Did I make you understand, folks? There are times and things that are different in this Bible. They're not the same. And you know what? A person on earth, when Satan's knocked out of heaven by Michael, is in trouble. So the first thing he goes after is the woman that bare the man child. That's Israel. But she's going out in the wilderness running and hiding because things are breaking loose. There'll be some Gentiles that'll help her. 10 men will take hold of the skirt of a Jew and help him. And they'll go out there with him and help Israel in the wilderness. When the devil can't get her, he's going to turn on the Gentile, the population of the world, with his wrath. He's called the wrath of God, the rod of anger. God's going to turn the devil loose in anger on the earth. The Bible says so. And you know what God did in His mercy with you right now? He saved you from that. He saved you from that so that you could become an heir of God and join heir with Christ simply in the fact if you would trust that God accepted you and what Christ did for you. Why would anybody fight that? Because they've been led to believe they've got to confess their sins. They've got to do good. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You've got to change your life and quit your sinning. How does a dead man do that? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Romans 8:9. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm alive because my Lord and Savior's faith was good enough to please God. There is no better way. Why do we rightly divide the word of truth? Well, we've got to see that there is a kingdom promise, there is a priesthood promise, and then there is a far above all heavens promise, and that's promised through Paul. And the only way you're ever going to have it is to been translated. You're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You're no longer carnal-minded. You're spiritual-minded. You're no longer dead in sins. You're alive unto God. I mean, there's all kinds of things, verses I can give you if you want them for time's sake. But folks, Paul's writings, Peter said, are hard to understand. Peter's got the mind from the Lord to read minds and to raise the dead. He can walk on water and all those things that Peter did, and he cannot understand the things that Paul says. You know why? Because what Paul wrote were not for him. Peter's message was for a royal priesthood. That royal priesthood is being serviced up here out of the nation of Israel. They will serve God over here in the kingdom. Now, how long is Christ's kingdom for? Turn to Revelation 20. Somebody says this is an infinite kingdom that goes on forever and ever. I can show you it ain't. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4. And if you want to write these down, you can reference them and look them up. They're in the Scripture. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. That is Matthew 19:28. It's promised to the apostles. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ. How long? Now you know how long Christ's kingdom is. Now understand something also. If they hadn't taken the mark, then they had already been through the tribulation to the point that the mark was offered and got killed for it. That is Matthew. He said, if you lose your life, you gain it. But if you save your life, you lose it. Paul never writes anything like that. You know why? He told you, you can go out alive. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we which are alive may be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, wait a minute now. How long is the kingdom? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Christ is declared to be the first fruits. He's the first begotten from the dead. When Christ arose from the dead, it's as if God is saying, I have taken care of every program that I've got in mind, for He is the Lamb that took away the sin of the world. He's the man that died for us. But sin is no longer an issue. You will never find a judgment for sin in Revelation chapter 20. It is works. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Is Christ raised? Raise your hand if you believe that. Then the opposite of that verse, if you believe that Christ is raised, then you're not in your sins. Then you can't confess them. This is Paul speaking, remember. He said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, every person that died believing that is perished. 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You ought to be out eating, drinking, getting drunk, spending all your credit cards and not worrying about nothing, because this is all you're going to get. That's what it's saying. You'd be miserable to walk around and have hope in Christ when if He didn't raise from the dead. Then there must be something about the power of His resurrection that must be very important to a believer. Of course it is. The power of His resurrection is God justified you. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He forgave you when He raised His Son. He glorified you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. And by the way, in 32, Romans 8, 32, one of the most precious verses says, He that spared not His own Son, but gave Him up, delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Free! Now watch. 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at His coming, the second coming. Now watch this. Then cometh what? When He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. How long? 1,000 years. After that 1,000 years, what is He going to deliver up? Well, why in the world did it just go 1,000 years? The devil is bound in the bottom pit for 1,000 years. He will deceive the nations no more. But you know what? Even in non-deception, they're sinful. The nature of man didn't change in Israel. Why? They went into their kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, a physical kingdom alive. And then, folks, if you don't die, you're still a sinner. I'm not going to let you get this. Unless you die, you're still a sinner. God said He crucified you in Christ. That's that spiritual side of translation. And He no longer sees you as a sinner because you're in the beloved. It is not about Israel. Israel is going into a physical kingdom. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. And that earthly kingdom is for 1,000 years. And they're still alive. They're still sinful. But the tempter's not there to make them do certain things. You know what? After that 1,000 years, he's loose for a short season, and God will know exactly who's been lying. Well, He already did, but He'll show. You know why He'll do? You know how it'll show? They'll follow Him again. Come on, folks. If you saw a man walk on water, if you saw a man make a man eyes that never had eyes from birth, if you saw a man raise a man from dead from 4 days old, Why wouldn't you believe in him? They believe in stupid pictures on walls. It's the Lord crying. Look, I can see the vision on that dang board over there. And thousands come to see it. And yet in front of them all, he performed miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and they wouldn't believe him. Tell me man ain't crooked. Now watch. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Can you tell me what happens after the 1,000 years to the devil? He's put into the lake of fire forever and ever. So there's a lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you know what the great white throne of judgment, if you do not trust God, is for? Death and hell is brought up. You'll be judged and cast into the lake of fire with the devil. For he's the one that blinded you. He's convinced his angels that we can beat God. We beat him once, we crucified the Lord. We'll beat him there at the end. We'll get an army of people that'll follow us, and we'll fight against God and we'll defeat it. And God says, yeah, right. And so he's up there on his throne in Jupiter or Mercury, according to the book of Acts. And there's a day coming when God says, bring my body of Christ up so we leave the earth. That God sends his Son, the Son of Perdition, and begins a 3.5-year period of peace. And the earth is really looking for that, ain't they, right now? They need somebody with an answer for... This is a spiraling circle that's going downwards. You can't kill jobs over here without killing jobs over here. I mean, it's just a mass of trouble. There'll be a man step in and say, I got the answer. And when he does, it looked like peace to everybody, but it's false peace. And then in 3.5 years, he'll be killed. And the spirit of Antichrist comes. You know why the devil's coming down? Michael kicks him out of heaven. How mad is he now? See, he had big plans. He's going to defeat God, didn't he? And Michael knocked him down. Are you thankful that you won't be here? Are you thinking, how do I know I won't be here? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Turn to Colossians. I'll shut up. Colossians chapter 1. If all of sin comes short of the glory of God, here's a wonderful verse in Colossians 1. Verse 26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You won't have to face it, folks. The tribulation is about Israel. You won't have to face it. You're saved from it. You're saved from the wrath of God. You're saved from death. You're saved from what you are as you were born. I thank God for that. I hope if somebody in here, young or old, doubted it, get it right now. Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, and God's satisfied. You've heard it. You can trust it. God will seal you with it. You can walk away here believing that you are saved and sealed, and nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8. If you want security, read it. Romans 8, 31, the end of the chapter. Secure as it gets. Why? God is our Savior. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The righteousness of God is the faith of Christ. I appreciate you being here today.